Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:03 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. We're live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Mike McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elwin Vaughn with you, the Plow Iggy Monster. That's the Plow Hawk, Iggy, and the Sea Monster. They have formed one body, Doug, to become the most powerful triumvirate in variety show radio history.
Is that the case? All right. Well, they're three powerhouses, that's for sure.
I think they're the collective Andy Cohen of this station.
Andy Cohen. At Andy on Twitter. On the program, you wanted to know what was on the captain's log. Larry Nichols going to be with us. He's brought to you by the National Wrestling League. He's going to give you the WWE recap. Will Leach, writer for Sports on Earth and Bloomberg Politics. He's with us at 8:30. Our listener rewards program, we have two this week. We're double shooting it. And the listener rewards program is for ambush tickets. That goes live on InsideSTL.com at 9 o'clock. And then something that I'm keeping an eye on, just because...
Pelicans basketball?
I'm keeping an eye on that, actually. But that's not what this guest is going to talk about, although we can ask him about Anthony Davis, cut Lance Stevenson, you know, injured, but... we'll monitor that. But this is Bernie Wilson, and he writes for the Associated Press in San Diego. The Chargers ballot initiative is one of the main topics in California politics, specifically San Diego, and the impact it could slash would have on, at the very least, San Diego, L.A., and anywhere else the Chargers may relocate to.
Chargers, come home to the Midwest where you belong.
That's right. So that's coming up at 9:15, and we'll get his insight as to what he anticipates happening. They certainly don't expect it to pass, at least from what I've been reading on this. But then what will happen after that? The deadline for Dean Spanos to make a move to L.A. is in mid-January, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we got a nice stadium right here where they could play. Probably build them a new one right on the river.
About Faurot Field?
No.
What about that Carson property? That seemed to be the real deal.
Boy. Just like, oh, I see. I'm all in.
You see, the Rams had a lot of empty seats on Sunday.
And they were third in the television ratings in Los Angeles behind two non-Rams NFL games.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders game was ahead of the Rams game, and the Steelers and Ravens was ahead of the Rams game.
Seems about right. Well, that might lead you to think that maybe the Chargers wouldn't be so interested in that market. You think?
I just, in the back of my mind, just don't think they're going there.
I don't either. I think
they're right. I don't know if they can in San Diego.
At some point, the NFL will step in and say, okay, here's some money. Build a damn stadium. Stay right where you are.
I agree. I said that all along.
Guys, come on, especially the cat. You know the program on this. They can't do that because it sets a precedent for other markets.
They can do whatever they want to do.
I'm not saying that. I'm going to say that they're going to work behind the scenes to make it happen somehow in San Diego. It's a market that the NFL values. It's a market they want to stay, and they'll figure out a way around the politics. And I don't know how they're not going to come right out and cut a check.
Well, they've already said they're willing to give more there, but the issue is if they give even more, there are a number of stadiums that over the next decade are going to be in the same category as what they have, in not necessarily same category, but same ballpark as St. Louis, San Diego, and Oakland. And so if you set that precedent, I don't know if they're necessarily going to be as apt to want to give that kind of money to Charlotte, Nashville, New Orleans. Take your pick.
I don't think they'll care
Jacksonville.
They won't care about those markets as much as they care about San Diego. I think they'll bend over backwards to get San Diego, make them happy. I don't think they would for Jacksonville, Charlotte, New Orleans. It's not the same.
They'll solve
just as they didn't bend over backwards for our market. They didn't care what happened to our market.
But there wasn't a precedent at that time that they would.
You know,
so if they do that now, I would question their legal standing to do it for one, but not the other.
And I think it's a valid point. I just think they have ways to go around things that they want to go around. Maybe they'll have a series of town hall meetings where fans can let their true emotions flow and make everything all right.
Yeah, that'll help. The NFL will do whatever the NFL wants to do, and then they'll fight it later.
Well, they can't force legislation through, so we will see that measure defeated. It's just a matter of how badly it's defeated. And I believe from reading in San Diego, the San Diego Union Tribune, one thought process, well, if it gets more than 50%, then perhaps they can make a case that they can put it back on the ballot, justify it in some capacity. But if it gets absolutely shipped, then Spanos has a decision to make. And that decision is 2 months worth. Of do I go up the coast to Los Angeles or do I stay in San Diego? Do I go somewhere else? All of these things have to be decided by January 15th. And then I wonder if the Chargers don't go there, would Mark Davis go to L.A. as opposed to go to Las Vegas?
I don't think so. I think the Raiders are dead set on Las Vegas. I think they're going to make that happen.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know on that one. If you have the opportunity to go into Los Angeles, where you have history.
Yeah, but the history was so bad, they moved out. It didn't work well for them there. That's why they left.
The number one rated game in Los Angeles yesterday, Sunday, was the Raiders and Broncos.
Yeah, well, when they were there, they didn't do well.
Neither did the Rams.
I know. Well, the Rams are run by a crazy man. I think the Raiders are dead set on going to Vegas.
You always thought very highly of Al Davis's.
No, he's an idiot as well.
No, you just go to P.F. Chang's and you work it out. That's how it's done.
Well, I'd be stunned if the Raiders go back to L.A. I don't think they want anything at all to share with Kroenke.
If the Vegas thing is real, then maybe you're right. Right, there still has some hurdles that it has to cross, and they might have no choice but to go to L.A., right?
I don't think there's any chance in hell that the Raiders go to L.A. I don't think there's any chance that they do that. I may be wrong, but I don't think they're just toying around with Las Vegas.
Raiders, come home.
This is where they belong. Place for them. Well, I think they're making major progress out in Las Vegas from everything I've read and seen about it. I think that's where they're heading.
Seems like a good fit for them, too, in Vegas.
Yeah. The Chargers would play nicely here on the banks of the mighty Mississippi.
Okay, you can say whatever you want about the Raiders. Not come. Okay, that's not happening.
From the San Diego Union Tribune this morning. Good morning and happy Election Day. Quick takeaways from the Charger Stadium initiative. Finally, San Diego voters will have their say. Chargers owner Chairman Dean Spanos and other San Diego residents have voted by mail. But today is when the largest number of city voters will weigh in on Measure C. A supermajority, two-thirds approval, is needed for C to pass. Then again, the California Supreme Court could rule after the fact that only a simple majority is required on C or future stadium measures like this one. The Supremes have fooled legal experts in other instances. You like that, calling the Supreme Court the Supremes?
No,
I've never
heard it
that.
Before. I like it.
You do like it?
I do like it.
Oh, I've never heard the term.
No. Let's not use it again here, please.
Have San Diegans. No, that's what you said. Have San Diegans voted on any other Charger Stadium initiatives? Yes, in 1965. The Pro Stadium vote won by a landslide, 72%. The San Diego Stadium was built for $27.5 million. How to pay off the revenue bonds, increase sales tax, capital improvement program reserves, the sale and lease of city land, and income from the operation of the stadium. Nowadays, the NFL would sniff at the dollar San Diegans pledged in 65. The $27.5 million then equates to $195 million today. Measure C, in contrast, projects a cost of $1.8 billion, while an independent audit pegged the cost at $2.3 billion. So they are a little off on the estimate. It's amazing how that always works.
Mm-hmm.
Not just by, you know, $100 million, but
yeah, maybe
by
half a billion.
Yeah, by 25% approximately. A convention center annex also would be built, so it's unclear how much the stadium itself would cost. In 65, though, San Diegans were building a home not only for the Chargers, but also the Padres and San Diego State's football team. Let's see, this just seems like it's a lot of history. Would a no vote lead to the NFL to conjure up a competing market for the Chargers other than Inglewood? doubtful because more distant markets such as Las Vegas, well, Las Vegas is considered distant, seems an ill fit for the Spanoses while also presenting their own challenges. The Chargers are a family operation providing careers for generations of Spanoses, including several current executives who grew up in San Diego. Dean Spanos has said future Spanoses will join the operation. The Chargers are reported to have an option to move to Inglewood. I don't think that's a report. So it stands to reason that the team, in fact, has identified potential training sites and a potential temporary home in greater Los Angeles. Santa Ana is home to a potential training site for the Chargers until a stadium is built in Inglewood. The team's games conceivably could be played at either a small soccer stadium in Carson. There is a soccer stadium. You can see it from the landfill that was allegedly going to be a stadium. Or the ancient Angeles Memorial Coliseum, who is home to the Rams and USC. So they're already having issues with the Rams and USC splitting games on back-to-back days. Now they would add another team in. Reports updating those scenarios can be expected to surface in coming weeks should Measure C fail. Economists such as Roger Noel, a Stanford professor, say the reported deal between the Chargers and Inglewood-bound Rams is not a good deal for the Bolts, while other economists have said the Spanoses would stand to fatten the team's profit margins and boost the franchise's resale value. San Diego voters will provide clarity on what the stadium game holds for the Spanoses in San Diego, but months or years may pass before the game reaches its conclusion. Fun facts for you and tell. Fun facts.
Nothing wrong with the ballpark right here in St. Louis.
Just get rid of the headaches and just come here. Move right in.
We got a nice ballpark.
That dome. You know, come to think of it, that dome was pretty good.
It was. It was nice. Nice facility. And we'll build you a new one if you'd like.
Yeah, like a replica.
We've already got the plan right there. We've got it. Come home, Chargers. Lance Allworth visited St. Louis once. John Hadle. Dan Fouts. They've all been here. Isn't that enough?
How about that Philip Rivers? I think he was once in Fenton.
He was here once. Hmm. My guess is Raiders to Vegas and Chargers stay right where they are. I think that's how it'll go.
I believe that the Chargers stay. I don't know what the Raiders are going to do.
I can't believe anyone would want to share anything with Stan Kroenke. Or that L.A. would be a good idea. Once the newness wears off of the Rams out there, I think they'll go right back to where they were years ago. It's such a hassle to get to the games. It's so damned expensive. I just can't believe that they'll continue to draw enormous crowds, not just for one team, but another one if they moved in there as well.
Well, the play has been very compelling since the move back.
Yeah, they've lost four straight.
What?
Now. They've lost four straight now.
What makes you say that?
They've showed real
standings.
They've showed real want to and intestinal.
They've showed no want to. They have no signal caller.
Did you see that grab by Kendricks?
No.
I think he dropped it.
I don't watch.
But had he caught it, it would have been a hell of a snag.
Snatch grabs. Up for snatch grabs.
Okay. I watched the first couple games just praying that they'd lose. And now I just don't care at all. I just couldn't care less.
Well, you can't build like a whole thing around hating another team because
even the worst
teams get good at some point.
So well, you would think. Although this one has been, what, a decade or more? It took so long that we lost them.
Yeah, but
they
Fisher,
lost the fan base,
but
and
Fisher's
we lost
the guy to straighten it out. I mean, give him a little time, Doug.
Well, he's new.
What?
He's new. I think any coach coming in is going to need 7 or 8 years to get the program turned around.
For you, good for you.
I tell you, if I were a head coach or a GM, I would say, "Yep, this is an 8-year rebuilding plan."
They're not losers.
Mm. Well, so
I
far
just got have. 8 years.
Yeah, that's $7 million a season. Good Lord.
We might have to backslide a little bit, but we'll get there in 8 years.
Well, he didn't have a particularly tough act to follow in Steve Spagnuolo and Linehan.
I thought they both had good moments.
Name one.
Faith, character, core values, and team first. Those would be the four pillars.
Let's start with pillars, Doug.
You follow me? I'm not f-ing going 7-9.
You won't get to 7.
Doug, we asked the listeners to get involved. Great. I know you like it. 855-CUB-TALK. That's how they can call in. It's the appliances kind of phone line. It's also how you can text in. 855 Cub Talk. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway is the right way. They are located at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard, or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's Gateway Buick GMC. If you're in the market for a new car, if you're in the market for a used car, make sure you're going to Gateway Buick GMC. Do you have bad credit, no credit? Are you stressing because it's almost holiday time and you know your vehicle can't last through this winter? Well, it's time to see the credit experts at Gateway Buick GMC. They can get you approved and get you in a vehicle that makes sense for your budget. Call the experts today at 888-865-9419. That's 888-865-9419, and let them help you get into a brand new vehicle and improve the situation. It's Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. If you're in the market for a new car, a used car, need to get your car serviced, make sure you go to Gateway Buick GMC. So we'll have Will Leach, writer for Sports on Earth and Bloomberg Politics, at 8:30, and then Bernie Wilson, San Diego Chargers writer, coming up at 9:15. Doug, have you voted?
Yes, I voted last week.
The cat, have you voted?
No, I'm going to vote
today. Iggy, have you voted?
I don't vote.
Plowhawk. Plowhawk, you did vote this morning, really?
I won't reveal who I voted for, but I did.
You voted this morning already?
I'm going to vote is what I'm going to vote after I get.
What do you say? Later. You may step down?
Why did you just say I voted?
Well, I gave a thumbs up that I'm going to vote after this. Do you know the nearest location here?
Oh, boy.
You're supposed to go to your select polling place. You would have received something in the mail about that.
Okay, so I still have to go to... Okay, I registered in Fairview Heights.
Oh, well, in Illinois, you don't even have to show an ID. You could vote anywhere.
Okay.
I think.
That was the only place I knew.
Yeah, make up a name. You can do it in Illinois.
Vote early, vote often.
I think you're supposed to vote there in Fairview Heights.
Okay, well, that's not where I live, but that's...
But that's where you registered, though, right?
Yes. So that's where I would have to vote.
Well, I'm not sure. You're a Missouri resident now, but you're registered in Illinois. You'd probably have to go to Illinois.
Okay.
And Plowhawk, you're probably on Fairview Heights.
God, that's such a haul.
I know, and voting is such a hassle.
Well,
probably not even going to do it.
No, I will. I will.
I don't know if you will.
You're an hour and a half from Fairview Heights, right about here.
Well, here, yeah. Soulard's only 20 minutes, though.
Yeah.
So I would have to go take care of the dog and eat anyways.
Yeah, sure you would. Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. It's going to be a hassle for you. Then.
Can you take your dog to the polling place?
Depends on the polling place.
Maybe the dog can vote, too.
I've done that before and left the dog outside. When I walked to the polling place, I left the dog outside. Traded off with a family member.
Who let the dogs out?
Did your dog vote?
No, but probably could in Illinois.
I bet Timmy voted already.
I was going to, but then I was just like, I might not be able to get it taken care of before.
The lines are massive out here.
That's what I was concerned with. If they would have opened at 5, I would have done it, but opening at 6... I might have been cutting it too close.
6 kind of is your lucky number.
Though. I agree with you. I do remember voting in 08 before the show. I don't know about 12. Oh, 12 I had to vote downtown because we were living downtown. So I voted at the Thaxton Speakeasy.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
That's where my voting location
That's
was.
That's the polling place, a speakeasy.
That's correct, a speakeasy.
I have
also
like,
get counted well.
Like one of the presidential candidates, I have tentacles everywhere, and I know where you're going to vote, and I have a spy there, and as soon as you vote, because I'm a Tim Lemming, I'm going to vote the same way.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that's an homage.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Tim, my polling place is, how do you say it, Doug? Kaiser
Elementary School.
Want to meet up and vote together? I'll pull your levers for you, since I bet it's hard with your pincers. That's okay. From Stubby Applause.
Stubby Applause. Is he on the thorough lemming list? Let me see. He is not. Stubby Applause, you just got your name added to the thorough lemmings list for offering to pull the levers for Tim's pincers.
Proper.
I think I'm the anti-Ken Bone, because I'm getting a little weary of every good-natured morning show host or cable news expert telling me to get out and vote.
You really need to be told to vote. You really need to be told that.
I'm just tired of that.
Yeah, I wonder what the root of that is. When you take a step back, it's like a thing to say.
Yeah.
But then I wonder what the root of it is. Like saying Merry Christmas is like harmless, unless you really want to be harmed.
It's just a kind greeting.
Right. But telling somebody to vote, I wonder what that's about.
Yeah. And my thought is always, if you don't know what the issues are, it's not important that you vote. If you don't know what you're voting for, why is that important? if you don't know who stands for what and you're going to just put a blind, uneducated vote, it's not very important that you do that. Understand who the candidates are, what they stand for, what the propositions and amendments are. Then, yeah, go make a vote. But don't, if you're just guessing, what's the importance of that vote?
Why do you hate America?
I don't hate America.
Yeah, but when it comes down to, you know, judges, which we will all be voting on.
How can you know?
Right, so.
There was a couple of them that were, the newspaper said, you should not vote for these two. Just a couple of them, because, you know, who knows? Who follows all that? But I forgot their names when I got to the polling place.
My favorite is if you watch one of the cable news channel and you just see a violent or semi-violent argument over the two candidates. And at the end, the anchor's like, well, okay, don't forget, everyone, get out and vote.
Tell me what to do.
And you know what? When people say Merry Christmas, even if you're a member of my organization, I take that as people just trying to share the good tidings of the holiday, nothing bad. But when someone says get out and vote, it's like reminding you that this is America and you have a civic duty to get out there and vote.
Mm-hmm. You don't
we'll be fine.
I understand the, Merry Christmas greeting, although I do feel like over the last decade or so, it's been kind of an inside thing to make sure you say Merry Christmas, you know, to go out of your way, just on the off chance it's irritating somebody who is agnostic or atheist or Jewish or whatever the case might be. But with the get out, in the whole scheme of things, it's harmless, it's whatever. But to get out to vote, I'm just curious what the impetus for that was. Like, when it really gets down to it, why, don't vote. I don't get, like, he said he's not voting. Okay, you know, sweet. God bless him. That's him exercising his right to not vote.
Right.
I.e. the freedoms that right. that are protected.
I think they're concerned that Jill Stein is trying to steal the vote.
That's what it is. I had no idea. I've heard get out to vote before Jill Stein. I've heard it before.
I don't know.
You can call in on your thoughts if you would like 855 Cub Talk or text in 855-282-8255. Tim, can you tell me who to vote for St. Louis Sheriff? I don't know the candidates and I respect your opinion the most. That comes from Nick in Northampton.
Is there a sheriff?
I believe there is. There is indeed. Yep. Because one of the security guards at Scott Trade Center is running for sheriff and he talked to me about it about a month ago.
Now let me ask you this, Doug, because you're a wise guy. I don't mean it like you're in Goodfellas. What do you look for in a candidate for sheriff? A good wide base?
Someone like Andy Taylor. If we could have a sheriff more like Andy Taylor, I would be inclined to vote for him.
Guys, I only voted for two candidates. President and governor, because those are the only two candidates I researched. I was in and out in 6 seconds. Speaking of 6 seconds, Doug, will you pull my leaders tonight? That's Jeff with two Fs.
Jeff with two Fs. You've been suspended on election day. You've been suspended for a period of time.
I guess I should know Llewellyn's Pub. I guess I should be obviously well aware of that you can just vote for. Yeah, I should just do that. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, you don't have to vote for everybody.
Does Jeff have like a home mock-up of an election booth? Is that what he was saying with Doug? He wants.
I don't know what he means by that. No, they send you a ballot to your home. You got that, didn't you?
I'm not sure. We might have. If so, my wife has it.
That's the ID I use to actually vote.
Guys, I'm not going to vote because I love everyone telling me I've lost my right to complain. Thank you. It's from the 314.
Yeah, I get that all the time. Well, you can't complain, Iggy. Sure I can.
Dogma.
I did read somewhere that that people get the candidates they deserve, or Americans, and a few different people have said it over the years, because I was like, that makes sense. You get the candidates you deserve or the elected officials you deserve. So I was like, who said that? And a few people, at least on my Google search, they attach that to. In this case, I don't think it's true. I think America deserves better. There, I said it.
Did you really?
Yeah, but I mean, they both won their primaries.
No, I know.
We voted on them once before.
I don't know. I kind of feel like
this is
our fault. Mm-hmm. Guys, can you ask Iggy if he thinks Gaga will go to vote in her meat dress? Thanks, Lexington Steel.
I don't think so.
Is there a meat dress coalition, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. She rocked it last night for Hillary, though.
Dressed up as Michael Jackson.
You know she owns like 500 pieces of Michael Jackson's clothes.
Doug, did you know that?
Of course I did.
Yeah, she's got
a
special closet with the humidity right at the perfect temperature so the clothes will stay
wow.
fresh.
How about that? How about that, Joanne?
She also has about 100 flank steaks in another closet at the perfect temperature in case she wants to do another meat dress.
We talked about that, Frankie Carbone. We talked about that this morning in the show prep meeting. I just don't get when they bring all these celebrities out telling you who to vote for. Now, are you not doing any research? You're actually going to vote because this celebrity told you to vote for that person? It's kind of stupid, isn't it?
Oh, I think there's a lot of people, especially for someone like Lady Gaga, who is very influential. She is. Maybe they're younger, you know,
skewed they're not younger, old enough to vote.
But there are still voting age people that I think will vote for her or some other celebrity that says. When Jay-Z or Beyonce says vote for Hillary,
sup,
I think
Queen
a lot
B?
Of people will sup, do that. Tim.
Iggy loves saying he doesn't vote just to get a rise out of people. What an ass.
Yeah, that's why I say it. Timmy asked me if I voted. I answered his question, douche.
Hey, come on now.
Doug, we want the listeners to get involved today. We really do. And the numbers are 855-CUB-TALK. That's how you can call in. Let's talk it over on Election Day.
Guess what's going on at Appliances Counters, the sponsor of our phone lines. A huge sale on quality Bosch built-in appliances and dishwashers. For that creative touch in your kitchen, Bosch side swing, convection, wall ovens, induction cooktops that will heat quicker than gas and steam ovens for healthy cooking. Finish that built-in kitchen with the quietest dishwasher in the industry as always. At Appliances Counters, you'll get these appliances at the lowest price. And for a limited time, receive 10% back with a purchase of three or more select Bosch appliances. Shop any of their six locations or online at theappliancediscounters.com. Let's see what we got here. Phone lines are lighting up, so the people want to talk it over, Doug. This will be good. We always like going to the phone lines.
Well, let's see what they've got to say.
Let's see. Barnhart Brawler texted in, on the official presidential fan page exit poll, no one so far has selected abstain. I'm surprised by that. Huh. I got to go look at that. I did see it yesterday, and Donald Trump won on the fan page by a large margin. I got to pull it up, though, Doug.
They did a who do you like on CamelV.com yesterday, and Trump won by like 5-1.
On where?
CamelV.com.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Well, I guess the Barnhart Brawler just created another poll, but there was a poll yesterday. Let's see. But right now, his poll is, what is your choice for the 2016 presidential election? Clinton, Trump, Johnson, Stein, write in a different third party abstain, but that just went up within the last 40 minutes.
Even our third party candidates this year aren't very good.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I feel disappointed in myself is overstating it, but it was just irresponsible to go, yeah, Gary Johnson. And I had done no research on him. It was simply a protest vote. And then I watch him and I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, at the time, a lot of us were searching for someone, anyone, other than the two choices we were presented with. Mm. Yeah, he didn't turn out to be very enlightened.
Missouri, good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh? What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
I wonder if...
Vanderbilt this Saturday.
I wonder if the Donald had just stayed off Twitter for about a three-week period in there, maybe not talked as much. And just like he's doing now.
I don't think it was
he's doing
Twitter.
He's doing his rally. He's sticking to the talking points. I wonder if he had just tried to fly under the radar a little bit more.
I don't think it was Twitter. I think it was some of the things that he said and speeches and the tape, the videotaped, and obviously hurt him a lot.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that.
I mean, you got to follow him on Twitter to see the Twitter stuff.
But I will say this
about... You don't have to follow him to see that some of the things he said while giving speeches.
Both candidates, to me, they're like the Terminator. Like, you think they're done, and then they come back. I mean, Hillary looked like she was on the ropes. It looked like Donald was on the ropes.
I'm absolutely stunned at the level of energy that they have. They've been going for a year and a half.
Trump was speaking in Michigan at like 1 this morning.
Yeah, 70 years old. He's been traveling to 4 and 5 states a day for the last week, and a state or two every day, almost for the last year.
Here is the fan page poll I was speaking of from yesterday, because it has at this point, like, I guess, maybe 450 votes. Doing quick math, it might be inaccurate. Yeah, probably a little less than that. As a follow-up to today's show discussion on voting intent, how does your voting sentiment generally fall? So it's not as simple as Trump, Clinton, Stein, Johnson, abstain, whatever. Voting Trump but as an anti-Clinton vote, voting third party as an anti-Trump slash Clinton vote, voting Clinton as an anti-Trump vote, voting Clinton pro-Clinton, as in I'm voting for Hillary because I like Hillary, voting third party because I am pro-Johnson Stein, voting Trump as a pro-Trump vote. How do you think that broke down, Doug? Because I know you're not a member of the fan page to everyone's dismay, so I know you haven't seen the results.
I would say voting Trump as an anti-Hillary vote would be number one.
You are correct, sir. By a pretty overwhelming number, almost 2-1 versus what is in second place.
Second place would be voting Hillary as an anti-Trump vote.
No. Barely, by one vote, voting third party as an anti-Trump and anti-Clinton. That actually surprises me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, the third place voting Clinton anti-Trump is only in third place by one vote. But still, to have that many votes for voting third party, anti-Trump, anti-Clinton. Voting Clinton, pro-Clinton has, I guess, 31 votes. Voting third party, because I'm pro-Johnson, pro-Stein, has 21 votes. And then voting Trump, because I'm actually pro-Trump, has 10 votes. You liked it.
That's fun. That's hilarious. I read a national poll that said of Trump voters, 90% nationally do it because they strongly disapprove of Hillary Clinton.
Maybe. Depends on the poll. The polls are so widely different. If you put a poll up by CNN or NBC, do you have to take that with a grain of salt, don't you? Those two organizations might as well work for the DNC.
Yeah, I don't listening think that's to, one of those polls. The podcast that I personally, if you're for politics, for interest in politics, I really enjoy Axelrod's podcast. And you know, yesterday his guest was John Weaver. Are you familiar with his work, The Cat?
No, sir.
Weaves.
Buh Weaves. Worked on the McCain campaign. Worked with, I believe, worked with George H.W. Bush, so he's a Republican campaign advisor, and his prediction that Hillary Clinton would win an electoral landslide and also be the most unpopular person to ever win the office. That was what he said, which is the ultimate paradox, to have somebody win by a landslide but also be the most unpopular person elected.
Either one who wins will be the most unpopular ever elected, I believe.
Yes.
Except the I do, and this maybe this is a controversial take, I do think if Trump wins, he will have a tougher road because you will have part of the Republican wing, the Never Trumpers, against him, plus Democrats, plus the media. If Hillary wins, I think she has an easier path in trying to unify the whatever portion of the population she can, because the I think the media, generally speaking, is on her side.
Oh, you think?
So it will be easier for her, and then more. It seems like the Democratic Party has coalesced behind her more so than they have for Trump. Even though Republicans, they use the phrase "coming home," you know, right before Election Day, are more behind Trump than they were before.
Yeah, if he gets in, I suspect that they would fall in line when it comes time to vote in the House and the Senate.
How do you think this happened? You guys follow it more than I do, but if they're so hated by everybody, how the hell did they win their primaries?
Well,
I mean, Trump had to beat 17 people.
Well, Trump, I think Trump made it a clown show, and I think there were legitimate candidates that fell into the trap, and I think he had instant identifiable, you know, personality based on him being on television, so he didn't have to spend like the others. Everyone knew him, and I think people at first found him appealing, then many were turned off by it. On the other hand, Hillary was actually running against a socialist who wasn't even a real Democrat, and she's got this elaborate machine ready to go. That was never a contest. And then we saw there were a lot of people that shouldn't have been partisan, were partisan to help her along the way.
Yeah, that primary was rigged anyway against Bernie. I'm not sure that everybody hates him. I think at least 45% hate Trump, and at least 45% hate Clinton, and they're supporters don't necessarily hate them.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Very nice. Doug, this is Joe on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
Hello, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. How?
Oh, we're fine. You?
I'm doing just fine. Driving south on 55.
How's the traffic out that way, Joe?
Nice.
Beautifully clear going south.
All right.
I wanted to talk a minor political victory for one of your hosts. I was reading on Sunday in the Post-Dispatch that the city is going to go in and put new pucks at all the downtown intersections so you don't have to sit and wait for phantom cars at the stoplights. And I was wondering when Tim's going to run for mayor of St. Louis City, and also when Buck Swope is going to do his episode on Tim's movement to revitalize downtown, starting with the stoplight sensors.
Huh.
Doug, I currently am not a St. Louis City resident.
You're not eligible to be mayor.
Well, Tim, come on. We can work on
what
that.
What does the position of mayor pay in St. Louis? Anybody know on
I
that?
I don't know.
Enough to live with the carport.
Yeah.
180, maybe?
180?
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I'm getting a little feedback on my phone. I'm going to hang up
and
listen.
Thanks for the chance. Sorry we bothered.
You think the Plowhawk called him?
Mm-hmm. Looks like it's $131,820 salary for mayor of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Doug, there it
that's
is.
That's a tough job. Tough job.
And unlike going to Washington, you don't leave that job somehow with millions in your bank account.
When is the mayoral election? Is it April of next year?
That sounds right, but I'm not sure.
It seems to me that it's usually in April, but I don't know.
And the police chief is running. Slay is not, and the police chief is running.
Correct. I actually don't even know who for sure. Is Lewis Reed running again?
I think so.
I think Lewis Reed is the favorite.
Well, he got shipped by Slay a few years ago.
Yeah, but now Slay's out, so. And I think that treasurer, the lady who's in charge of writing all the tickets down at the ballpark.
Oh, Vervis Jones' daughter?
Yeah. What's her name? I forgot, but I think she's running too. She's now the treasurer.
Not Darlene Green.
This is Paul from the wealthy part of West County with a stock tip, Doug.
Oh, hello, Paulie.
No, I'm not. Hold on.
What?
Sorry about that.
I'll have to call Paul as well.
I am not calling with a stock tip. I'm calling to answer Iggy's question about how two hated people win the primary.
Okay.
The unfortunate reality of our two-party system nowadays is that in order to win a primary, you have to do something that invigorates an extreme. And that's exactly what Bernie tried to do, was invigorate the strong left. The only reason he lost is because Hillary was the chosen one and the party wanted her to win. And then Trump obviously invigorated a side of the Republican Party, whether or not it's ever been Republican before, but invigorated them to vote. And so you have to attract an extreme, and that's the reason we end up with this ridiculousness. The people in the middle can't find someone that they want to support. Do you guys agree with that? Or
yes, I think that will save this country, and I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, but a charismatic moderate. But I do think I don't think it was the debate scenario. I know you think the debates ruined it for the Republicans.
Yeah.
I just feel like a lot of them handled it poorly. They have no one to blame but themselves. If someone would have handled that a little bit better, someone who had traction early on, Rubio or someone like that, they could have beaten Trump, but they got sucked into that game. And again, everyone knew Trump from TV, so he had a built-in advantage. And he was on every show, so we didn't have to spend as much campaigning because people would have him on as a guest because he was a celebrity. That helped him too.
Tashara Jones, Lida Krusen, Antonio French, Sam Dotson, Lewis Reed, possibly Greg Daley. Those are St. Louis mayoral candidates per Cal Kennedy,
who, for my money,
is the best in the business.
He's one of the officials at St. Gabe's, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. So he should know how it turns out.
It's a serious charge, sir. You can get involved, 855 Cub Talk. That's how we're calling in. Mike, happy election day.
Oh.
Hello, Mike.
So, past Friday, my lucky day.
Why was it your lucky day, fellow?
Because I was there at the party Friday night.
Ball so hard.
Were you? You had a party?
I was singing Michael Jackson down there.
Very nice.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, then.
At the We Are Live party, right?
Yep. And I was dancing with four girls down there, too.
Four at the same time or one at a time?
Four at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must have been a fabulous evening for you.
I'm going to tell you, that was my goal on September 27th.
You know what? MFFF.
And I got a girl kiss me, too.
Who was that, yo? Who was that?
Some girl kissed me.
Didn't even know her name, man. That's either a stripper or a hoe.
Hey, did you see that video I was saying Michael Jackson?
No, didn't see it.
Doug, you ought to put that in Sports Sunday.
It's in that video.
Didn't see it.
Go to my page. Look at that.
Doug, do it.
What page are we talking about?
His Facebook page, Doug.
Yeah,
and I'm not even on there.
A lot of people sing with me and they dance with me.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's in Mike Lee down there.
Well, you must have had yourself quite a little time.
Oh, yeah, I had a good time. I was dancing four good-looking girls.
Four
Friday
times,
night.
What I understand.
That's
yeah.
Nice. That right there is nice. That's what it's all
Did
about.
You see it?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. Yeah, it's really nice, Mike.
Do you see me singing there?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, boy, you can flat out warble.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
You dance like a kangaroo.
Like who?
Kangaroo, sir.
I dance like a kangaroo. I bounce. I do a lot of bouncing.
Is that guy's name Bob Keeshan?
Yes.
Did he say Wu-Tang Clan?
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Cash rules everything around
I drink Starbucks coffee.
Do you really?
That's nice. My ass
okay, I know. I've heard you say
Do
that.
Do I but... kiss my ass?
All right, put him down!
Unfortunate.
Not on election day.
No, not on a day as holy as this.
Mike Lee got himself suspended, fellas. He got himself suspended in a period of 2 days' time. Thanks,
guys,
Lord.
I was the girl who kissed Mike Lee. Thanks, that's Ray King.
I had quite a few people tweeting at me that Paul Reiser is now going to be part of a sitcom. He's back.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know.
How exciting is that?
But I had a number of people tweeting at me, and they were wondering whether or not this will... It's sort of like an Election Day bombshell. Will this affect Larry Nichols?
Could Paul Reiser be number one this week?
Number one or number two? A lot of people, you know, a lot of people said, hey, it's a long shot, but Stranger Things have happened on Election
Paul
Day.
Paul Reiser will be on Stranger Things Season 2. Definitely not. Was that you, Seamaster? Seamaster. Really? I didn't know that. Stranger Things, that's like Anna Marie's... absolute favorite show. We just got done watching it. I felt like there were a lot of holes in the thing. Yeah. Anybody else watch it? I assume you watched it, Seamaster?
Holes in a sitcom?
No, it's not a sitcom.
What is it?
It's like a sci-fi thing, no. Which is very weird for us to be watching, but she was super into it.
Well, a lot of people say Reiser
She loves little Millie Bobby Brown, just like a billion other people do, for those who watch. You can tell Millie Bobby Brown's going to be like a superstar. It's like, anybody seen Beautiful Girls?
Yes.
1995? When you saw that, did you see it at the time when it came out?
Yeah. And I've seen it like five times since.
Okay, when I saw that in 1995, and I was 18, I guess, when I saw it, I go, I don't know who the hell that girl is, but she's going to be a star. You could just tell. I don't know how to describe it. There's just an it factor thing. And that was Natalie Portman. And I would say the same thing about Millie Bobby Brown, who plays one of the leads in Stranger Things. But she's 12, whereas Natalie Portman, I think, was like 16 or something like that. But Paul Reiser will be on Stranger Things Season 2.
He'll be playing Dr. Owens, a high-ranking member within the Department of Energy, on a cleanup assignment.
Wow. Oh,
people
word.
Say his support isn't broad-based enough for him to move up the rankings beyond three. I think he topped out at number three.
I think he could surprise you today. Shrewsbury Seminary student. Good morning. Doug, this is the Shrewsbury Seminary
Hello, Shrewsy.
And he is...
Shrewsy!
Sometimes we call folks and not ready to talk.
That doesn't happen much at this place.
Plowsy puts in the call. They say, okay, yeah, I'll be with you in a minute. And they put the phone down. And then when it's their turn, they're not there.
Guys, vote for Tim in 2016. Screw Doug. Seriously, though, I want to screw Doug. Thanks, Sad Panda.
Sad Panda's been suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name has gone into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule.
Not on election day.
I would hope that it wouldn't be. Bud Light's the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Enjoy yourself a cold, frosty one. Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. When you hear this bell, it's brought to you by Hot Shots, the Hot Shots Hot Take Bell. And we will be at Hot Shots in 2 nights, sitting there with Bonnie Rotten talking it over. I want the Inside STL News team. Iggy, Plowhawk, I would like you to interview Bonnie Rotten for a wonderful video. I feel like you guys could do some wonderful, wonderful work.
I think we would crush that. Pause and
I already
Not
have a couple questions
crush
in mind.
That,
so
but I will crush
give
it.
Me an idea and try to leave liquids out of it.
That'll be hard. I'll ask her how she got in the industry. Obviously, my usual question: who's your favorite male?
And you'll probably lobby for Manuel.
Well, I'll pepper that in there when you'll need be.
I like that, Doug, using the word pepper.
I don't mind it. It's kind of a cute little sassy word for you, Plowsy.
Tim, did you hear what Bill Maher said about false equivalency the other night? That's the story of this election. That's the Barnhart Brawler texting in. I don't recall specifically what the Barnhart Brawler is making reference to,
I do recall Bill Maher, and he was on Jimmy Fallon's show last night. God, that show.
I don't know what you're getting at.
It's just, it's like, I don't know. I watched it?
You don't like it?
I don't have anything against Jimmy Fallon. It's just so blatantly fake, though. I have a tough time watching it. Kimmel, to me, is the best of the three. Colbert's playing out of position. And Fallon
just... What
about
Conan? No one talks about Conan.
Well, can't find it on my cable.
But Fallon left so uproariously at everything. And then when he has an interview like last night, well, Bill Maher is being serious and, you know, his angry self, and he's in particular really angry right now, Jimmy Fallon doesn't know how to handle it. And it just makes it even more awkward. And then he had the Cubs on. He had Rizzo, Fowler, and who else was on?
One of the other players.
Was it Ross?
Those are all the guys on SNL. So
no, Zobrist. It was Zobrist. Yeah, Ross was on
Zambrano.
I don't believe they brought him back. Oh. How about that? How about that whole deal? And he said, "Yeah, I heard that Steve Bartman's going to throw out the first pitch, and you know he's the guy who ran out on the field and interfered with the ball." And I'm going, "What in the hell?" I mean, I realize you know he doesn't isn't necessarily a huge baseball fan, although he was on Busch Stadium's field making out with Drew Barrymore following the 2004 World Series.
That made me angry.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, Bill Maher. Bill Maher was saying, he said, I own this, and he said other liberals should own this. He said, we cried wolf in 08, cried wolf in 2012, that if John McCain were to get elected, if Mitt Romney were to get elected, it would be the end. And the truth was they're both honorable men who we just disagreed with from a policy standpoint. And did ourselves a disservice by saying it would be the end if they were to win, because this time it actually really would be, and now people wouldn't take it seriously because we've said it before. That's what I recall him saying. And then he also finally got President Obama on his show, but I don't know what the Barnhart Brawler, perhaps he would want to call in and expound on his text, because I don't recall exactly what he's talking about with the crying wolf thing.
I've read those same sentiments. On Twitter from
a number of
national
I thought that
pundits.
Too. I mean, I really truthfully did in the moment, and I look back on it, and I still think the same thing. I felt like, again, the Palin thing, that was really disappointing, and it's a shame that that happened, although I don't know if it really would have mattered because of what happened in September 08. Whoever was in office was going to get voted out. By that, I mean the party. So John McCain was climbing uphill, and it's results-oriented because in the moment, the Palin thing was a debacle. Or disappointing, at least, for me personally, and obviously it didn't work out. And then Mitt Romney, same deal, an honorable man, you know, and it wouldn't have been like it's the end of the world. For me personally, business-wise, it probably would have been a, quote, better thing. But for me, Barack Obama was my choice. But I felt like it wasn't going to be like an end-of-the-world scenario, like people feel in either case with this. This isn't like a Trump end-of-the-world thing, although plenty of people certainly feel that way. Plenty of people also feel that way regarding Hillary Clinton. And I don't think nearly as many people felt this way in 08 or 12.
I hope you don't look at me as one of those guys who just reads a tweet and thinks that's the absolute truth without vetting it. But I will say, having read the WikiLeaks and stuff, I kind of feel like, on the Democratic side, the DNC puts out its talking points, and then you see like a mass of people saying the same thing. I know it goes on the Republican side, but I just don't trust anything that's said, because I believe it's somehow come up with in this little room, and then the DNC sends out a talking points, and then everyone says the same sort of thing. Like, that's the message we're all. So I distrust a lot. I understand that point.
Let's see. Here's the Shrewsbury Seminary student.
Jimmy Fallon sucks.
Hello, Shrewsy.
What'd you say?
I hate Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't hate him, but I think it's just kind of, I feel like somebody better has to emerge.
Well, you're right, Tim. I don't hate him, but he sucks. Okay. He's the worst Tonight Show host ever. And
we were wondering what you thought about him.
Huh?
We were wondering what you thought about him this morning.
Well, he just kind of just like whatever the guest says, he'll do this. There's a YouTube video of like Jimmy Fallon laughing, and it's just 5 minutes of him laughing and like slapping his knee or the table. And it's like, if you want to pay me $10 million a year to go like fawn over George Clooney, I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay, let's get a collection up.
Yeah, anyways, I just voted. The line sucked.
Where'd you vote, baby? Where'd you vote? Shrewsbury?
Well, of course.
St. Michael's?
I did vote in the Shrewsbury proper area, even though it just moved. I'm still registered in Shrewsbury. So, take that, butter squirrel. I got to run, boys.
Okay, sorry to bother you.
Talk, I don't understand the phone call.
I don't either. You just wanted to get the Jimmy Fallon opinion off his chest.
Tim, how about when Obama hit on Anna Marie? Is that a scandal? That's from the 314. I don't know if I would say he hit on her, but it certainly was a unique greeting versus the other people he was greeting.
Well, what did he do again?
Somehow, and I still really don't know how, although I'm grateful that it happened, we were put in the front row of one of his speeches in 2009 or 2010. And I was told this is where he's going to come to shake hands first. So we were able to meet the president. And, you know, he says hello and he's smiling just like any other president would in any other time. But then when he got to Anna Marie, he said, now, how are you, young lady?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Like, oh, no. This is the Barnhart Brawler.
Morning, boys. How's life?
Barnhart.
Doug, you don't sound as enthused.
No, I'm ready for the liberal spin. Go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Kat.
What's up? Starts.
Go ahead, Brawler.
So the thing that Barr was talking about was like a third-party independent fact-checker like Politifact has determined that Clinton says something that's at least partially not true 26% of the time. Bernie Sanders, my straight shooter guy, has been deemed to do it 27% of the time. And then Trump does it 70% of the time. But yet, somehow, we've equated them that they're equal, that they're both as dishonest.
Okay, whatever poll you cite, that must be true. Whatever you say, whatever poll you cite, must be factual. We're all convinced now.
Can I say this? That if I watch a debate, okay, and there was a lot of improper things that weren't factually correct, but I saw Hillary Clinton twice trying to defend the context of what she said on WikiLeaks. Once she brought up Abraham Lincoln when she was talking about the sausage being made, which was a direct lie because I read the WikiLeaks.
And when she talks open borders, that's energy. That's not people.
And
that's
that was a total lie too.
Yeah,
you know, I'm giving
says.
Two examples, but these are blatant in front of the American people. When the facts are right there, we didn't need a fact checker if you had read WikiLeaks. So you know what I'm going to say? Hold on. There's a lot of things that I know that Trump said not true also, which I know by reading a little bit. But trust me when I say I think they're both equally dishonest.
No, because we look at the stats. People compile these things and take their statements and weigh them whether
people?
They're true or not.
What people are compiling
them?
People can compile any stats they want. It depends on the people compiling them. That's how your result is going to turn out.
Anyway, Tim, I was hoping to talk to you again and clarify the thing I was referring to, that Bill Maher's take on it was that false equivalency has been the main story of this election, that we somehow we're more worried about equal and balance than we are about objectivity. So, have a good day, boys.
I don't even know what that means.
I have no clue.
Like that was the Barnhart Brawler.
All right, we're not worried about objectivity.
How can you not have any kind of equivalence? On one side, you have Trump busted on tape being really vile and then destroying the women he has coming out of the woodwork to accuse him. Hillary Clinton trying to make hay out of that when her husband was accused of even worse and her attacking them. Mm-hmm. Both of them, you could pick whatever. You have Hillary attacking Trump for being buddies with Putin. On the other hand, she didn't secure her server. They're both... There's so many parallels between the two.
Yep. She lied bold-faced to Congress. And is going to get away with it completely. No problem. That's fine.
Who was the last president not to release their taxes? You know?
No.
It's been a while. That
went back
to
the 70s.
It's been a while, I think.
So it would be Nixon, Ford, Carter? I mean,
and you know what? That's a legitimate thing. There's a lot of reasons why people don't trust Trump or don't like Trump that are legitimate. I mean, you can't get around that. He should release his taxes. You know, saying, well, it's under audit, I can't. You can. You can do it. He should do it.
Right.
He should have done it.
They should all be honest about everything. But the fact is, they're not.
But she's going after him for not releasing the his taxes, and she would never release what she said to the, you know, on her speaking
tour. Well, she hides everything she possibly can.
That's what I'm saying. How can you not draw parallels between the two?
Or even destroys the information that has been subpoenaed.
Barnard Baller says, Tim, I was hoping for your comment on the false equivalency subject. Honestly, I appreciate the Barnard Baller calling in to explain it. I don't know exactly where he was going, and I'm not saying that to mock him. I respect his opinion. I know a lot of people don't like him, don't disagree with him. But even if it was somebody coming, you know, at me with something, I would want to hear it out and explain why I agree or explain why I disagree. I'm still not sure what he's talking about. Do you understand what he was saying?
No.
I assume that it's one person comparing.
Because Bill Maher did talk about a false equivalency, but for real, I don't remember exactly what it was.
I assume it's when someone looks at one candidate and says, oh, yeah, but the other candidate did this. And with Bill, it comes from a left-wing perspective, and he's a Hillary supporter, I assume. He would say, trying to say that she's the same as him because of this. And to me, I don't know how you can get away from trying to compare the two, because they're bad. They both have done very similar things.
The brawler said fair and balanced is more important than objectivity. I'm not sure where he's going with that.
I would legitimately like to, and maybe we'll have a conversation on the fan pin so I can get a better understanding. Because I legitimately, you know, I know he's passionate about it, whether I agree with him, disagree with him, or agree with some and disagree with some, whatever. I just want to understand it. You know, I don't know. I'm sorry that I don't follow it, so I would like to answer, but I don't know. Hey, Tim, I voted for Doug this morning and it turned into Erection Day.
Now that makes a little bit of sense, finally.
Roy Munson's rubber hand is just one text of the day. We got a break. We'll have Larry Nickel on the other side of the break if he can do it. If not, I'm sure people will get through it. Doug at 8:30, Will Leach will be with us. And at 9:15, Bernie Wilson covering the vote on the stadium situation in San Diego. He will be with us. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.